is this is a special, excuse me. Thank you. Special meeting of the Port Commission of the Port of Houston Authority. Call to order at 10:34 a.m. on May 21st, 2024. This is a meeting to discuss potential user fee in the channel. So I just wanted to, let me just start out with a quick discussion. I want to thank everybody for being here today at the special meeting. We're here to provide updates and receive input on the Project 11 user fee. Several years ago, we embarked on this journey for expanding the Houston Ship Channel that we call Project 13 or Project 11. And I wanted to start this meeting by reminding everybody on how we got here and why we're here today. So first of all, I think everyone in this room knows how vital the Houston Ship Channel is. Just for the record again, the Houston Ship Channel, all the facilities that sit alongside it support more than $906 billion of economic value, nearly 20% of the Texas GDP. The channel and its related industries support 3.37 million jobs nationally, 1.54 million jobs here in Texas. We reported at the commission meeting earlier this year that U.S. Army Corps of Engineers recently released a report that shows the Houston Ship Channel continues to be ranked number one in the nation for waterborne tonnage. In 2022, a record 293.8 million tons of cargo moved along the Houston Ship Channel, an increase of 27.3 million tons compared to 2021. This annual growth alone is larger than 85% of all the deep draft ports in the U.S. It's clear that the Houston Ship Channel is the vital economic engine that all of us in this room know. And it underscores the importance of ensuring that the Houston Ship Channel is prepared to meet the future needs of vessels and businesses. That's why we're doing Project 11. Project 11 will widen the channel by 170 feet, deepen some upstream segments, and add beneficial use areas like bird islands, and overall increase the safety and efficiency of the channel. I want to underscore that point, that Project 11 will improve the safety and efficiency of the channel for all vessel transits. Houston's Ship Channel was significantly narrower than other federal channels. By widening the channel and providing more space between ships as well as between ships and the shore, our channel will be safer in the future than it has been in the past. We also considered that in the future, we're going to see larger vessels calling Houston, and we need to be able to accommodate these vessels, and Project 11 is necessary for that reason. A project of this type is done in partnership with the federal government, and we are working very closely with the U.S. Corps of Army Engineers and others to emphasize the critical nature of this project and securing funding for it. However, the federal government did not commit to pay for the widening of the entire channel through Galveston Bay. Rather than perhaps wait another decade, I say decade because that's what it would have taken, in hopes of getting full project funded, industry members and the Port Authority recognized the urgent need to get the work done faster and pledged to team up to pay for the increased local costs as necessary. Since 2020, we've been evaluating options for the payment of this local cost share. The idea of implementing the user fee is based on a proposal originally suggested by the members of major industries along the channel. We've had many conversations with many stakeholders, revised the plan accordingly, according to feedback that we've gotten. And today we'll present you with some details of the proposed user fee structure. I will be clear that the money collected through the user fee can and will only be used to reimburse the Port Authority for monies that we have spent on Project 11. I also want to acknowledge that there are some details in the user fees that have not yet been finalized. For example, since any terminal can rebate the fee for a vessel that calls, we have been asked whether the Port Houston plans to rebate to its customers. That is one matter that we have not yet decided, and we are going to have a separate public meeting on that topic specifically at a later date. We don't have all the answers today, but we are going to provide you with as much information as we can. I want to emphasize that today we want to hear from you. We want your feedback, and after the user fee presentation, we'll have public comments, and then we'll be, after today's meeting, we'll continue to consider feedback, and we'll have conversations on how we'll move forward. So at this point, Let's move on and talk about the details of the user fee. So Jordan is going to take us through that. Jordan? Thank you.
Good morning. I'm Jordan Frisby, Director of Technical and Business Analytics, and I'm the project manager on the Project 11 user fee. For Commission, Roger, Charlie, Eric, thank you for the opportunity to present about this today. So, going to the next slide. First, I'm going to discuss the purpose and the goals of the user fee. The purpose of the user fee is very simple. It's to finance the local share of construction costs for Project 11. When we are constructing the fee, we had a few simple goals we are attempting to achieve. We wanted to construct a fee that was simple and transparent. We wanted to construct a fee that was fair and objective. And we wanted to construct a fee that is legally compliant. And I'm happy to share our results with you today. Let me give you a basic overview of the user fee as we've conceived it today. Each vessel will be assessed a user fee for each Houston Ship Channel transit. And we'll go into more detail on the proposed mechanism for that very soon. The purpose, as we discussed, is to recover that local share of the construction costs. And I want to note that all Project 11 local costs have been paid by the Port Authority so far. The duration of the fee will end when all local costs have been recovered, and we estimate that at a 30-year duration. And we're targeting implementation by mid-2025 when the project is complete through the Bay Reach. So in order to calculate the fee levels appropriately, first we need to establish the cost basis that we were seeking cost recovery against. So there's three components that are included. The first is the construction costs at $860 million. That represents all local costs for Project 11, and that represents majority of those costs have been expended or contracted, and that also includes the projected future expenditure to complete the project. The second element is the financing cost. In order to finance the local construction, as you may know, the Port Authority issued two series of revenue bonds, and the financing costs associated with those bond issues is $652 million. That represents the financing cost of Project 11. And there's a much smaller component we're going to seek cost recovery on, and that's the administration of the user fee. That's going to include a third-party administrator. That's going to include offshore vessel tracking and other minor costs. We currently estimate that will be around 3% of the total cost base. And combined, we're seeking recovery on estimated $1.56 billion over those 30 years. Now let's move on to some more detail about the proposed user fee mechanism. As the chairman mentioned, the fee is similar to a 2020 fee proposal from industry, and we're also incorporate elements of the existing Houston Pilots tariff. So we followed the statute very closely to determine which vessels would be subject to the user fee. So all deep draft navigation vessels with a design draft of over 20 feet will be subject to the user fee. That just means the maximum draft of the vessel is in excess of 20 feet. Also following the statute, all vessels with a design draft of less than 20 feet are categorically excluded from the user fee, and that includes the vast majority of barges. There's a few limited special cases of vessels that are exempt, regardless of their draft, and that's going to include harbor tugs, any vessel engaged in activities, and the majority of government vessels. All other vessels will be subject to the user fee. Now let's discuss the formula for computing the user fee level for a given vessel. It includes three key components. The first is the vessel units. That's determined by combining the vessel's LOA and beam. That's the length times the width. The second is the unit rate. As you can see in the graph on the slide, the unit rate is escalating as the vessel units increases. The fee per unit increases as well. What does that mean? It means that the larger vessels will pay proportionally more user fee. And the third element is the annual escalator. We're proposing a 3% annual escalator over the life of the fee, and that will help spread the inflation-adjusted burden of the fee more evenly over the projected 30-year lifespan. So when we combine all these elements and we look at our Houston ship channel traffic, we compute that the average vessel would pay a user fee of $4,725 per vessel transit in year one. That doesn't include the admin costs. And we estimate the annual collections in year one will be $36.8 million. Now let's discuss in detail where the user fee is assessed. So to be very clear, we're proposing the fee is assessed on inbound transit only at the beginning of this statutory Houston Ship Channel as defined by the Army Corps of Engineers. And that's at buoy 18, which as you can see is just inside the Texas City Y. That's a location where the user fee will be assessed. The vessel will be subject to no fee for intraport ships or intraport moves, unlimited movements within the statutory Houston Ship Channel without incurring additional user fee. And there's also no fee for exit. Vessels can exit the Houston Ship Channel without incurring additional user fee. Now, there's special consideration for a class of vessels that enter the Houston Ship Channel, leave the Houston Ship Channel, wait offshore, don't handle any cargo, don't visit any other ports, and then re-enter the Houston Ship Channel. We're calling that vessel re-entry. So we are researching a modified fee structure for these vessels, which I'll touch on in just a minute. So there's five key steps to implementation I'm gonna discuss today. The first is we've engaged with a third-party consultant to study the vessel reentry. We listened very carefully to industry feedback that this was an important issue, especially but not limited to the chemical tanker sector. The consultant developed an advanced model to examine vessel behavior offshore of the Houston Ship Channel based on both terrestrial and satellite AIS data and advanced data processing techniques. And their findings do not represent a material change in our understanding of the Houston Ship Channel system. According to our definition of vessel reentry, we found that only a minority of Houston Ship Channel vessels are engaged in reentry. Of the vessels that perform a reentry, over 70% only perform one reentry. Over 92% only perform two reentries, and 99% perform three reentries or less. So we're going to continue to examine these findings and consider them as we develop our policy of special consideration for re-entering vessels, and we'll announce that policy at a later date. The second aspect I want to discuss is we've issued a request for information to third parties who could potentially administer the user fee. We're envisioning contracting with an independent third-party administrator to assess and collect the fee. That's going to increase transparency It'll be fully auditable. And we're going to seek, as we discussed earlier, we're going to seek cost recovery on that through the fee. The next aspect I'd like to discuss is rebating. All terminal owners and operators are free to rebate the fee for vessels calling at their terminals. And echoing the chairman's comments, the Port Authority will conduct a separate meeting, take comments on rebate policies at a later date. Now I'd like to discuss the formal process to implement the user fee. Later this year, we will prepare the formal written proposal for the user fee that will be published in the Federal Register in conjunction with the Army Corps of Engineers. We'll have the formal public comment period required under the 2236 statute. We'll have a formal written comment period as well. We'll go through the 180-day legal challenge period. And then at the end of that, if the Port Commission so chooses, they will act to adopt the user fee. So to reemphasize, the collections are targeted to commence in mid-2025. That timing is not firm or final. That may be adjusted as needed. And finally, I'd like to say we've been really interested. It's been very fruitful to hear industry's comments, and I'm looking forward to hearing from you in the public comment period. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Okay, we'll go ahead and open up the public comment period. Just as a reminder, we have extended our normal Port Commission 3-minute limit to 5-minute limit. And because this is an important area that we want to make sure we have plenty of time to talk. And so Eric will be monitoring that. And so if you see him wave at you, or you hear a buzzer, you need to wrap it up. Okay, great. So we're going to start with Vincent DeCosmo from Targa. Vincent?
Good morning. I'm glad we went to 5 minutes. Let me just say that in advance, okay? Because I can go a while. Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. I'm honored to be here today with the commissioners, and some of your faces are familiar to me, some of you are new. So again, welcome aboard. Also want to congratulate Charlie on your ascension and Roger on retirement. And what a great thing to be heading toward down the road. So with that, I want to thank all of you today. I want to thank the tremendous amount of work that's been done over the last few years. If we think about ways to accelerate a project that would have taken longer than a decade, I can cite for many of you other projects across the United States. One that's very familiar to us, that's very close, that had WARDA approved in 2014, only began its actual funding of the project about a year ago. And so that's over almost 9 years. And it's still years away from that particular project getting done. So I think it's important to think about a couple of things. The human hand cannot draw a perfect circle. I don't know if you know that. It cannot draw a perfect circle. I think the port has done the best job it can possibly do in attempting to draw that perfect circle. Be inclusive. It's tried to be fair. It's tried to have transparency. It's tried to look at the size of the vessels, not just what is on the vessels, because cargo, which I know some of you may wonder, why don't we charge on cargo? Cargo is not allowed under our laws in America, the way that that we have to be able to recoup a user fee. So from an industry standpoint, we looked at this a few years ago and said, what are the options for us as industry owners and people who have invested along the ship channel to be able to ensure that we maintain, one, our global competitiveness, which is very important, two, the economic driver for this region, not just the state of Texas and the United States, and three, also to be sure that we can make this project happen and happen quickly, and also ensure safety being paramount. And we looked at ourselves and said, we can't wait as an industry over a decade or 15 years for this channel to get widened. We will lose our global competitiveness. You heard the chairman say that 906 billion dollars, almost $1 trillion of economic value comes out of this ship channel. I'm often quoted sometimes because of a comment I made some years ago in a publication about the Houston Ship Channel being the carotid artery of America, and we are. What happens on this ship channel affects everything in America. So it was very important to us when Project 11 came up that we somehow figured out a method to accelerate this program and not have it last 10, 15 years. As excited as I am about the funding that has come down for the GCPD, that's awesome. But we know that, again, that's a 20-year project or 30-year project. But we finally got some funding. We've got to figure out how to accelerate that as well. So when we looked at how can we make this project happen and how can we make it happen quickly and increase the safety factor on the ship channel, because we're still a small channel. We're still a small channel. When you look at the increased size of vessels and you compare us to other ports in the United States, we're still a very small channel, even at 700 feet. So safety being paramount, acceleration of the project, and making it fair. And I think, again, you have done what's very difficult to do and almost draw the perfect circle. I think you've done it well. You've set a rate schedule that looks very fair, I think. It's based on size of the vessels, because that met the law in terms of how we could affect that. You took an interest in what we suggested some years ago and modeled that and molded that into what you have today, and we support that. And I think, finally, I'll wrap up my comments, but again, I think that all parties have to understand, for us to continue to look forward, this is an important driver of the economy, and this is so important that we accelerate this project. And this is something we may see down the road. And I think in Project 12, you mentioned 13. I know that was a Freudian slip, but yeah, there will be a Project 13 out there. I probably won't be around, but there'll probably be a Project 13 or 14 out there. So I think we have to be a forward-looking group. And commissioners, I commend you for putting this forward. I thank you for all the work that's been done on it. And again, I'll wrap up my comments and say, from our collective group that the industry that's worked on this, we've tried to be supportive, and we do support this very much. So thank you.
Thank you. And Vince, we do appreciate all your hard work and the team's work with the coalition to get this to help us. Thank you. Thank you. Next up is Greg DeLong with Enterprise Products. Greg?
Morning.
Thank you. I'm here in representing Enterprise Products. We have 10 deep draft docks in the Port of Houston. And we first want to acknowledge and appreciate all the great work that the Port of Houston has done to complete the project, or nearly complete the project, to the Bay Reach in a very short period of time, and especially the startup of the project, how rapidly that occurred. And so congratulations, and also really the execution of the dredging project. We're staying in contact daily with what's going on with the actual execution of the little details on the project, and it's been very well accomplished. The fee structure as proposed is very similar to what industry suggested about 5 years ago, and so we're in agreement with that part of it. And as far as the cost being fair and reasonable, we want to say that we support the fee structure as proposed. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, next up is Vinny Pileggi. Vinny, are you here from Manchester?
Vinny Pileggi, Manchester Terminal.
Earlier y'all said, are the with the credits and debits at a different time? Or is that
on the rebate? Yeah.
On the rebate.
Yeah, we're going to have a specific hearing on the rebate. You can talk about what
okay.
We're talking about now. We are going to have a specific hearing on rebates or no rebates or who rebates or that kind of thing.
Like, gotcha. Okay.
But go ahead and do whatever you want now.
Appreciate you having me here, Chairman and Port Commissioners. Again, my name is Vin Pileggi. I'm the President of Manchester Terminal. We're a privately held break bulk terminal, basically right down the waterway. We handle commodities, steel, copper, aluminum, pipe, etc. We average about 250 to 300 18-wheelers a day. We rail daily throughout the terminal and have hundreds of employees that work at Manchester Terminal. We're not vertically integrated. We are the only, we only own the land and have a separate stevedore that operates our terminal. So ships that come to Manchester also come to Port Houston. So they sometimes stop at Manchester, go to Port Houston to your docks, vice versa. If the port credits and debits this ship fee for vessels, it'll absolutely not be fair fair and equitable to terminals like Manchester Terminal. To stay in business, Manchester would have to credit and debit those vessels or stand to lose them to the Port of Houston to your city docks. This added expense would have a major impact to Manchester Terminal. We cannot even bring in larger ships after Project 11 is done. And I'm going to tell you at the end, we're for Project 11. But after this project's done, like your city docks over here, our ships are going to stay the same size, the beams, yeah, everything like that. Manchester doesn't receive the same benefits that the port does, as we all know. This would also create a debit and credit nightmare logistically. This is our main concern. Many ships that come to Manchester go to city docks, maybe go to another dock, maybe to Waco, and vice versa. And this every voyage is unique. Every voyage, I mean, sometimes they might come to our dock and drop off one box and then come here and drop off a lot of cargo, and vice versa. So when we talk about these credit issues, the next issue that would happen is infighting with the agents and the vessel owners with regard to full or partial credits and debits by the Port Houston. So what we're saying is, if these credits happen, we will get calls saying that you must credit and debit just like the Port of Houston. Or we could take our ship to the Port of Houston and not going to take it to Manchester Terminal. And then next thing we know, it's going to be crazy, and then they're going to say, hey, we dropped off half the cargo at Manchester, half here, you know, and what's going to happen? This fee, you said, is when you enter the ship. So what happens when a ship enters the ship channel and goes to your dock, to our dock, and to another dock? This is completely different than a lot of companies that control their own ships. We don't control these ships. Charlie, these ships can go, they can go to any dock in these areas if on the break bulk side. So I've had a lot of Port Bureau members reach out to me and say that hopefully this gets fixed and hopefully something gets worked out. But I personally think that this should have all been put in place before the project even started. Because here we are now, and we don't have answers to these questions. And originally we thought it's going to go, it's like a tollway. Ship comes in, it gets charged, and they pay that fee and then go to the location. So the credit debit really going to throw a big wrench in everything. And if you push the money aside, it's the infighting. That's the last thing we want here. The last thing we want is agents calling us and just having a bunch of infighting where all the other ports are going to find out about this. So there has to be some type of solution put in place. Because if y'all do credit and debit, I can assure you, I've been here for 25 years almost. And I'm in Europe quite a bit, and I talk to customers. It's going to be there's going to be a lot of issues. A lot of finger pointing, a lot of companies, a lot of ship lines. I don't know if y'all talked to the ship lines yet in the break bulk side. Because technically, the way the fee works, the fee goes to the ships, not to the landowners. So I don't know where y'all are. Have y'all talked to the shipping lines yet? I don't know. So that's all I'm asking. You know, and the last thing is, like I said before, we fully support, we've always supported Project 11 with everything we have, and be more than happy to help anything we can do to help out. But if there's a credit and a debit by the port, it could cause some major issues. And so I appreciate your time. I just want to throw those out there. Thanks again.
We appreciate your time as well and your support of the overall channel. And we will have a more specific discussion about that at a later time. Okay, next up we have Lloyd Mendoza. Lloyd, you, there you go.
Yeah, good morning.
My name is Lloyd Mendoza. I represent BW-LPG. We have approximately 47 VLGCs that call the port regularly, and we have about 200 port calls a year. At the onset, I want to thank you for conducting the Project 11. It does generate safety, but we have to quantify safety carefully, because there is safety of business and there's safety of vessel. Safety of business, as Vince very rightly said, you know, the Houston Ship Channel is carotid of the U.S. And it is important to retain the safety of business for both the economy as well as to increase their growth beyond the $906 billion of economic return. On the other hand, when you talk about safety of the vessel, we have to be mindful that if a port is unsafe, a ship owner will not call. And that's not on the ship owner. The charter and the terminals have to give us that underlying guarantee that the port is safe. And presently, the port is safe. Houston, the Houston Ship Channel is the second safest port in the whole of the U.S. And the quantity of traffic that it handles more than rights underscores that whole point. There were a few questions that we had in the way the fee structure is, and I'm just going to read it out to you. I mean, the first thing is, as a ship owner, we want to understand what was the size of vessel that was considered to justify the widening of the channel. Because the existing traffic, whether they do the Texas chicken maneuver or any other maneuver, it has been shown to be safe for the last 20, 30 years. So that's the first point. The second point is, what were allocated budgets, one for the widening and one for the deepening of the channel? It is important for us to understand that, because our ships max out at the present depth. Any incremental depth does nothing to our traffic. And then the third point is, we have roughly, I think, five areas from the project plan where I can see there are roughly five areas that were considered for widening and deepening. So we wanted to understand if those costs have been allocated or ratioed for each of those areas on the widening and the deepening of each of those areas, both separate. We as ship owners have also submitted a letter to the public comment, and we hope that would be admitted in your discussions. We'd also like to understand the next steps in this process, because we would like to be part of it. At the end of the day, and I want to share this with everybody, presently the port cost, or the cost for us to come to Houston, is already $70,000. Because in those costs, we add in the existing port cost, but we add in terminal fees, we add in fees, a pilot's cost, tug cost. We have all these costs which amount to $70,000. Incrementally adding another $15,000 or $12,000 makes it $85,000. I look back at our freight rates, and from 2018 till today, except for a few spikes, you know, one, the war in Ukraine or the Panama, you know, the water shortage or the rainfall in Panama, our freight rates hover around $15,000 to $18,000 a day. So that's about 6 days of freight just for port cost. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Okay, up next is Ernie Ferrand at the Black Coast. Ernie?
Good morning. My name is Ernie Ferrand, Vice President of Watco. I first want to say, you know, thank you to Port Houston Commissioners. We've been supportive of Project 11 since day one. Still are supportive of Project 11, but as you kind of heard from Vinny, we have, you know, our concern is the disruption with the waiving of the fee it will create. And you know, from our perspective, when we look at it, not only the disruption on the vessel side, but that's inland, you know, rail, trucks, because now those tons are getting pulled away, go to other ports, that hurts everyone as a whole. So that's our biggest concern, and I know that'll be covered in another meeting afterwards, and we look forward to that. So I'll keep it short. All right.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Appreciate it. Curtis Biffenden from Valero. Curtis.
Chairman, commissioners, we appreciate the opportunity to speak today. It's a fascinating project that creates commerce for the economy in this part of the country, but also across the United States. Valero represents two terminals on the water here. We're at the Magellan Valero terminal, and we're also at our Houston terminal, Houston Refinery. When we think about the amount of traffic that we do approximately 250 vessels a year here. They're in the medium range class of tankers. When we think about the user fee, we're in support of the project. That's one thing I wanted to let you know up front. We believe the efficiency on the waterway, the safety is paramount to allow our industry to continue to be successful globally. When we think about the $1.6 billion investment, we look at it and we think about the cost-benefit ratio by ship class, and we think about which ships are benefiting the most in the widening of the channel. Ours are medium-range class vessels. They're not nighttime, they're not daylight restricted. We get to move 24 hours a day. So the benefit for us is from a safety standpoint and some of the efficiency standpoint when a big vessel comes in that blocks the channel. Giving us the freedom to move at night is a big benefit, so the benefit factor is low for our vessels. What I'd like you to think about is when you look proportionally at where the funding is coming from, right now, the way the structure is set up, and I do want to compliment the port in the change that happened within version 2 and version 3 of this proposal. Version 2 was a single fee for all vessels on the charge, as far as how it was structured with the formula. Now there's a tiered structure that has five different size vessels, and that's important to be able to begin to allocate the fee cost of the infrastructure towards the vessels that benefit the most, which are the larger vessels that have freight economies that the smaller vessels don't see today. Right now, when you total it up and look at over the 30-year life of the project, Valero's going to put in roughly about $45 million into this project, so it's a sizable amount. When you think about small class vessels, even under the structure today, we're representing the smaller, which is MR class vessels and below, as representing 50% of the total cost for about $900 million is what we believe is happening. The port needs to verify those numbers, but we use their data that was published to be able to determine that. When you think about $900 million against the $1.6 billion project, my question is, why are the bigger ships not funding more of the project? Because they're benefiting from the economies of scale when they move their freight. We do not. This is strictly a cost. To compete globally, we look at a landed cost basis. And landed cost means all fees coming in to do business in Houston versus the alternative of where we can move product. Right now, this is a cost adder, but we're not seeing the incremental benefit on how we move freight, which is different for the bigger vessels. So I'd like you to consider the fee structure is appropriately segmented by vessel class. I'd like you to consider a differentiation for more of that 50% of the cost shifting to the larger vessels. Maybe it's a 60-40 where the larger vessels are paying 60% of the cost of the channel to represent that. The last point I'd like to make is when we trade and broker ships, it's done on world scale. Fees get rolled up into the world scaled rate. And this is really, really important because we ran into this on the Sabine where we do a lot of commercial business on the Sabine. When they first proposed their Federal Register proposal, they wanted the terminal to be responsible to collect and remit the payment. Unfortunately, the terminal operator has no idea how these charter party agreements are set up. The agents know because they're in between the two charter parties and the vessel owner. But this fee needs to be cleared through the agent, not through the terminal. The terminal can report back like we do on Sabine to say, hey, here's the reconciliation report to say, did you collect all your money? But ultimately, we should not be the collection agent, nor should we be the one trying to figure out who's paying what, because the charter party agreement is with the vessel owner and the two charter party members. It's not with the terminal operator. So I just, when you talk about this credit and what you guys are talking about with crediting back and the terminal can credit back, that creates a little bit of a challenge because when you broker a spot vessel, it's already baked into the fee structure. It's already paid for. The agent then clears anything else. But that is something with world scale is important to know. And that's all I've got on comments. Thank you very much.
Great. Okay, next up is Cliff Fry. Okay. We appreciate that. Okay, so we have that's all the people that have signed up. Great, Eric. Okay, great. Great. So let me just close this meeting by just making a couple of comments. So number one, I want to thank everyone who's here today and who's commented. This is a listening session. This is about making sure that we get all the input that we possibly can to make this work for everyone. It's never going to be perfect, but we're going to try. I also want to thank Vincent and for being here, and also for the work the industry has done. Because I will tell you, when you think about it, when you say that we've accelerated this a decade, I mean, it's a massive amount of work and time and effort. And it is the largest federal project and the fastest federal project that has ever been done for a port. And I remember when I started with the port in 2019, there was a lot of discussion and debate in the industry about larger ships and the channel issues and things like that. And once we finished the first sort of 6 months of that debate, we all joined arms and we went together to Washington. And we worked at the team, the entire channel, channel was represented in that team. And we sat in lots of congressmen and senators' offices in the White House trying to get people to convince that, A, we needed to be part of WERDA, and B, we needed to get this channel open. It was such a vital and important part. And the industry stepped up and said that they would help fund it. And they came with a proposal that was similar to what we're talking about right now. And I just want to thank them for, number one, everyone at the table that helped get the project started, everyone at the table that proposed how it was going to get paid for, and what we did as a commission to make sure that we were part, like a serious part of the solution of getting this done quicker than it's ever been done in America ever. We funded $800 million or $860 million on the handshake with industry that we would ultimately get this reimbursed. And because remember, the reimbursement is really just reimbursing that cost. But what it does then is it allows us to have capital for Project 12 and Project 13 and other investments that we're making. We have, you know, $1.5 billion of land side investments that are being made right now. And so it is really critically important for the fee to be implemented so that we can have the capital for future investments. And I think it is it's a great partnership between the channel users. And I know there's going to be little issues here and there, big issues in some, you know, obviously a little issue. It's really a big issue if it's your money. We get that. So we want to make sure that we're the most competitive port around, that we don't cause challenges if we can tweak things here and there for folks. So that's why we're going to continue to have public meetings and we'll continue to have the dialogue. I just want to thank everyone for being here today. It is a great opportunity for us to communicate and a great opportunity for us to continue to drive the economic prosperity of our region. So thank you for all being here. I will now entertain a motion for adjournment.
So moved. Second.
All in favor, say aye. We are adjourned. Thank you.